All right, I'll have you count down from three and then clap, and I'll try and clap at the same time as you.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Okay, cool. Also, that's the first time that I've been able to clap in a long time.
Well, yeah, yeah, I don't... I feel like we should just clap for each other more often.
Yeah, that's what we should do. From now on, whenever I clap sync with a guest, we should just keep clapping.
The world will be a whole lot better place, let me tell you.
Yeah, people should just clap for each other more often. Like,
yeah, I mean, it can be golf claps. It can be like slam poetry, snappy claps. But whatever it is, we just got to show more appreciation for each other.
As long as there are people still clapping when the plane lands, which... That always, I know that like a billion comedians have done jokes about this, but it never fails to make me laugh when it happens in real life, because I forget that it, because it's like, to me, if you clap when the plane lands, it's like you're saying you didn't expect it to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, whoa, okay.
Ye of little faith. We were,
didn't realize we were surviving this one. My last plane didn't even land. It's still up there.
I mean, I guess if you're like on like a tiny little plane and there's like a like chickens in cages behind you, then you'd want to clap. But
yeah. Hi everybody, welcome to the Breakfast Club. By the way, I'm here with somebody that you may not know, but that you will want to.
Oh.
It's Luke Standridge. Luke, who are you? What do you do?
I'm a person. I've known Graham since dinosaurs roamed the earth, basically. It's been a long heckin' time.
You can tell because you're like the only person on this program to call me Graham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what am I supposed to call you?
You can call me Graham. Oh. That's, yeah.
Is it, is it like Graham?
No, it's just, I think everybody else I've ever had on met me as Freeze.
Oh.
So you might be... Or almost everybody. So Josiah from Microwave Society, he's the only other person who like met me as Graham. And then everybody else like knows me more as Freest. So that's like kind of a unique thing, yeah.
Wow.
But it just proves that we do go back.
Long time. So I grew up in the same state as Graham, and we did music together, we sang and choir together, we laughed, we cried.
You did.
I think I introduced you to Attack on Titan.
You did, and that was like that might have been my first anime.
Yeah,
so
man, dude,
you can pretty much thank this guy for getting me into anime and like consequentially the current nerdcore scene. I probably wouldn't have my like be doing my current stuff on my channel.
You'd still be doing like pony music.
I would.
Which is great. Your pony music was awesome.
Oh, it was something.
But yeah, now I live here in Tokyo, Japan, and so yeah, I went from writing music in my bedroom in a town of like 2,000 people to living in a city of 30 plus million people, and I'm writing music for anime and singing on movie soundtracks here, and crazy stuff is happening.
Yeah. What anime have you worked on that people might know?
The biggest one is Haikyuu. So I work with the composer. I'm like an assistant to that composer. His name is Yuki Hayashi. Basically, yeah, stuff that he works on. So there's a one that's currently aerial. Yeah, so this is the current season of Haikyuu. I did just one like song slash arrangement for it. And so I did some piano and horns and some choir stuff in there. And then there's the Dragon Quest, The Adventures of Dai. Or Dragon Quest Dai no Daiboken in Japanese. And so that was the first one that I did with him. And that is currently airing now as well. And we're working on another new one that'll come out next year. I'm hoping it'll be, like, similar levels of hype as Haikyuu, like the next Haikyuu once Haikyuu ends.
Okay.
It might actually be in the same universe, because it's, like, this, like Haikyuu, the naming scheme has two exclamation points. Like, Haikyuu! Uh-huh. And then this one also has two exclamation points at the end of the name, and it takes place in the same prefecture that Haikyuu takes place in.
Really?
And it's also like a sports anime, so.
Wow. What? I'm sure you can't say too much about it, but.
I mean, I guess it's already.
Or can you?
It's known
that. Can you
spill
the entire plot?
I actually don't know the plot, and so I just have this Google Doc that has all these songs on it. I guess it's okay to talk about the inner workings of anime music. And so, okay, I mean, Yuki, he's doing like a bazillion shows a year. He's like, I mean, he does My Hero Academia, Pokemon. He's doing the new Shaman King. He did Haikyuu. He does so many, you know, huge anime. And so he's super busy. So he has a lot of assistants that work for him and do like arrangements and little things here and there. For this one, I think he's allowing his assistants to work a lot more on, maybe. And so, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. But this would be the one I've done the most songs for. I've done 10 arrangements for it so far.
And wow.
Hopefully going to do more. And it's everything from, like, a horror cue to a bluegrass, like, thing to, like, super... like romantic music and like sad music. It's been a big gambit of songs thus far. Really stretched me as a composer for sure.
Well, I know that like you have a lot of experience writing in different genres, like a lot of your own stuff, like original stuff just spans. And I think you've done that on purpose, trying to like build up your repertoire over the years. But like, what's the difference, do you think, in your own sort of workflow between like making your own stuff and then like working like with somebody like Hayashi?
Yeah, good question. He gives us a lot of freedom. We try to fit into like his kind of sound, I guess. I mean, I guess like the main difference is between writing Western music and writing music for, you know, first a Japanese audience, and then from there it goes kind of global. But I guess there's a lot more emphasis on like melodic structure, and so like writing for American companies and like American productions and stuff like that, they're usually like less melody, less complexity. Don't make it too interesting. Mm-hmm. Make it sound like a pop song orchestrally. And then here in Japan, it's like more melody.
Yeah.
And it can be like as complex as you want. You can write, you know, it's like got like this like heavy metal drum beat with like these like crazy synthesizers going on with this, you know, huge choir sound and the, you know, like, you know, brass melodies in the background. And it's just, you can do the craziest, wildest stuff, and it's super fun.
Yeah, you mentioned as well, like when we were just talking about it before, that like now what you do, you're not just like producing everything yourself, right? Like there's studio musicians that come in.
Right, yeah, that's one of the coolest things for sure. So it's actually, I'm usually a lot quicker in writing these types of songs, because for my own stuff before, when I was all, like the MIDI mockup was the final version. I had to, you know, take tons of time to create those dynamic curves and to make sure everything was all lined up perfectly. But now, yeah, basically, which is, it's amazing. I've never had my music recorded by so many live musicians, but now basically all anime music is recorded live, which is awesome. And so you create the MIDI and then they'll turn it into the sheet music. And then usually it'll be like a 3 to 4 day recording. And so I've been able to go to a few recordings now. The one for Dragon Quest and then the one for Shaman King. That was a couple weeks ago. And then I work, I'm friends with the composer Evan Call. He does music for Violet Evergarden.
Mm-hmm.
And so he invites me to a lot of recording sessions, and I've been able to sing on one for the Violet Evergarden movie soundtrack. And then there's this show here in Japan that's been running since like the 80s. It's like a sports news show on NHK. called Sunday Sports or Sunday Sports. And so Evan did the new theme song for that, and it was a lot of singing. And so I got to be one of the singers on that, which was a lot of fun. And so it's been super wild.
That's so dope.
Yeah. And so I came here with no expectations to be able to do any of this. And just became super lucky that I just happened to know someone who knew Hayashi-san. And, so I just sent him basically just a blind Facebook text and say, "Hey, I just moved to Japan and I do music too. And, I really respect you a lot." and then next thing I know, I'm sitting across from him having lunch and then at his studio and like listening to some of my music in his studio and like listening to stuff. And then he invites me on the Dragon Quest soundtrack. The rest has been a crazy, wild roller coaster of awesomeness.
Yeah. When you were, like years ago, when you were in your, in your room making music on, what was the first music program you used? It was the one where you had to write everything in notation, right?
Goodness, yeah. That? Yeah, see, that was the music notation software Finale.
Finale, yeah.
Yeah.
When you were just, like, making stuff in Finale, like, did you see any sort of trajectory like this, or were you just like, I just want to make music? Like, did you know at that time that you wanted to, like, make music your path in life?
I think so. It definitely didn't have anything to do with Japan. At that time, I wanted to be this composer in Hollywood, the next John Williams or whatever. But yeah, mostly I think, I just felt this need to get the musical ideas out of my head and onto the page or into the computer. My parents always encouraged us to use our imaginations and to play outside. And so whatever it was, secret agents or superheroes or whatever kind of game me and my siblings were playing, I always had the soundtrack going on in the background for as long as I can remember. And so I just, like, I think it was when I was in fifth grade or sixth grade, my brother would have been in seventh grade, so he would have been, like, in band and choir in high school. And so we wanted to just test out, like, doing computer music. And so we got this first was this super cheap version of Sonar's Cakewalk.
Oh, okay. That was my first DAW as well.
Wow. Nice.
Aside from like a demo version of FL that I couldn't ever get to work.
Typical. Yeah, I think, yeah, wow, Cakewalk is just where all the greats start. and then started the long string of time where I was creating a bazillion new emails so I could get a free like 30-day demo of Finale. Because on Cakewalk you could have like two tracks, and then like, and then in Finale you could have 10 at least, and then they started doing the demos for the main version, and then eventually I convinced my parents to spend that I could spend my own like $200 and buy the full version.
I think Cakewalk is free these days. I tried it out for nostalgia last year, and it was awful. It was the worst.
Man, dark days. Dark days.
But, it's where I remember in Cakewalk, like, being so new to DAWs and not having any internet access. I installed it from a disk.
Yes.
And having to figure out everything, there was this long period of time where, and I was like 14, 15, maybe 15. And I was just in the basement of our old house out in the country, population 900, not to brag.
Yeah.
Not of our house, of the town.
All right.
Our castle out in the country with 900 peasants that tilled the grounds. just in the base on this old, like, horrible Gateway desktop. Well, I could have just said Gateway.
Gateway desktop. Holy cow.
That thing maybe had 4 gigs of RAM. Like,
I remember when 4 gigs was a lot, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know if it had 4, but like, yeah. I can't imagine it had more than that.
Right. And I remember literal megabytes of RAM.
Yeah, Yeah. And I couldn't figure out how to get Cakewalk to write any notes that were shorter than a quarter note. I couldn't find the thing to change the grid. So I could only write in quarter notes, and that's what I did for a while. Everything was quarter notes, and I'd have to change the BPM. It was very like, wow. It kind of came out very like Baroque,
yeah.
For a short time. Everything was just very evenly metered.
I mean, that's the next level of experimentation. Like, always, you'd have to like go to like 240 BPM to like 50 BPM to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's funny they could figure that out before figuring out how to change the meter.
Right. And then the other thing was like, I don't know what the deal was, but I think I didn't know about like keeping the faders down. I just kind of turned everything up. And then I was like, why is everything fuzzy? Why does everything sound fuzzy? And it's because it was clipping. But I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
So yeah, just all my old
before
music.
Lo-fi was a thing.
Right. You know how lo-fi is just the sound of digital clipping? my stuff kind of sounded like Black MIDI a little bit.
Yeah.
Just really really noisy. I was making noise music.
Yes.
Before my time.
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a guy who goes to my church here, and he's he started this huge underground noise music festival here in Tokyo.
Okay.
It's like ginormous. They have sponsors now, and he's like written up in magazines. And yeah.
That seems like the kind of thing that Andrew Wong would get invited to and like do a vlog about.
Yes. Yes.
I'm just going to wait until he does so I can see it.
I freaking hope so.
Have you been?
No.
Or has there been one since this year?
Yeah. So, yeah, I came at the end of last year, and then COVID happened, and then everything was shot to poop.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I was going to have my music in, like, this, like, stage play.
Wow.
And then it got canceled. It was like a choose-your-own-adventure stage play. It was going to be like the hypest thing.
What?
Put on by this like dance group. It was going to have a narrative, but crazy dance. Then also like the audience like chose the direction of the story. And they canceled.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but then they had to cancel it.
Oh,
or
wow.
hopefully just postponed. Maybe like next year.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But yeah, that was going to be nuts.
That sounds amazing. So that would have been your original stuff?
Yeah, that was like the first official thing. We didn't record anything for that. It was all MIDI stuff. Mm. But we had to do a lot of music for that one because the story could have branched off into any numerous directions.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So it would have been like you would have written you wrote a score for it, and then they would they have chosen the music depending on like the direction the story went.
Yeah. So I guess, yeah, whatever story route the story took, they would have a separate music street.
Like a different cue.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had no idea how it was going to work, but it seemed very complex, but very awesome.
I bet that when you read a Choose Your Own Adventure book, that happens in your head.
Yes, of course. Of course. I used to do that. Whenever we had like those summer reading programs, I would just do Choose Your Own Adventure books and just get to the first ending, like, okay, I'm done. and then get invited to the pizza party.
that's an interesting thought, actually. I've never talked to anybody about this specific thing, but like, how do you read a Choose Your Own Adventure book? I mean, I don't know when's the last time you read one, but like, when you read them, did you like... If it wasn't for a summer reading program and you weren't just trying to get through them as fast as possible, like, did you read every ending or did you just read one and then you were like, that's it?
Yeah, I would have like my save points throughout, and I would like, if I like was eaten by a pack of crazy like rabid dogs or something, then I would, no, I'll go back. Yeah. And so, yeah, I would, yeah, when I was just reading them for pure enjoyment's sake and not just to get invited to the pizza ice cream party. I would, usually.
Pizza, I gotta say, pizza ice cream, not my favorite flavor.
It takes some getting used to. Our library was weird. Pizza ice cream, and you're gonna like it.
Pizza ice cream definitely exists in Japan, right?
It's gotta exist.
It has to. It's probably fermented as well.
Yeah.
Why? Now, I've not been to Japan, but at least a few people listening to this will have been to Japan. You know, I took Japanese for a year, so like we had a lot of cultural sort of like lessons and stuff.
Yes.
And it seems to me like a lot of the like regular foods, like the sort of everyday fare, is like really, really good. And then a lot of the super nice stuff looks horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, there's a few weird, probably the weirdest thing is fish sperm.
Okay.
That's a delicacy.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that like a soup?
No, it's in like a little, it's like a string. It's like
you're not talking about like eggs.
Like, yeah, it looks like a little, no. Yeah, it's, look it up.
Yeah.
Well, if you feel comfortable,
I'm gonna look that up in incognito. You know, it's surprising. I've seen two seasons of Food Wars, and they haven't mentioned that once. So it must be something pretty pretty gourmet.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had like some strange stuff in China when I went, but it was all like in the like market where they specifically just put like they'll fry anything,
yeah, you know,
just to creep people out.
Yeah, I mean I've had raw horse sushi.
Okay,
that felt just wrong. I felt kind of sad after that one, especially like we're in this place known for horses. We went to this island with a ton of horses on, and I'm looking at these beautiful creatures just gallivanting across the ocean side. And then like that night we go and eat them. I'm like, I just felt so guilty.
Yeah. You said it was a horse sushi.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another delicacy in this part of Japan in the Kyushu part of Japan.
Okay. North, another thing that I haven't seen in Food Wars. they're always talking about like local delicacies and stuff. The Food Wars has been an example of, the most recent example of just like where you watch an anime and then you feel like you're an expert in something. Like Haikyuu is definitely one of those. Like, yeah. I feel like the first one that I saw that was like that was like Yuri on Ice. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh. And then like I saw it, and then I saw the Winter Olympics like pretty soon after that.
Yeah.
So I was watching the ice skating, like, oh, look at this form. This Joker's not going to score above an 8.5.
Hayashi-san actually did the music for that one too. Side note.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
So then with Haikyuu, I was like, oh well, like clearly their quick attack is going to, you know, blah 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 blah.
I watched these video, like, I don't know, for some reason I was like, yeah, like really into Haikyuu and like volleyball. So I was watching these YouTube videos of like professional volleyball matches. And
yeah,
and 99% of the comments were like, Haikyuu, yeah.
Yeah. I started watching like professional volleyball clips after watching Haikyuu, and that's when I noticed. But I was never into volleyball before.
Yeah.
Well, I used to play a little bit.
Like in gym class? Real life.
Like gym class or real life. You know how in gym class it's like Sword Art Online? You just put on a headset. That way you don't exert yourself.
Yeah.
No, real life. My first school, the really small one, we would play we had like volleyball nets and we would play that most days, most clear days. And then we'd sometimes go to a gym and we'd play against some like local rec teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what first turned me onto volleyball and how epic it could be was that scene from Avatar: The Last Airbender, the beach episode.
Oh yeah.
When they're, yeah. And like, we will become the most powerful team to ever exist.
Yeah. We definitely had like one or two Azulas on my team when I played. I was never, well, I was never that good. By the time that I like stopped playing, I was good enough to not be like embarrassing.
Yeah, I think I spent most of my time just being smacked in the head by the ball while daydreaming.
Yeah, yeah. Season one Hinata.
Yes, yes.
Just no receives. what's I'm trying to remember the line from the Haikyuu cipher. Your receives still need practice. Still not working on. Forget two. I'm giving you 3 cents. I don't remember. I think it's Eddie Rath's part.
Yeah. Those are so good. I love listening to those.
If it wasn't for the Haikyuu, Schwabity's Haikyuu cipher, I wouldn't have watched Haikyuu.
Really?
Yeah. There's just a very interesting sort of like chain of events that have led me to be familiar with a lot of different things. And these days, the main reason that I like get familiar with an anime is for a song. Like usually it's either like, I want to do a song about something. So I'm like, all right, I better watch some of this. Or like somebody will be like, hey, do you want to be on this cipher or this collab? And I haven't seen the show. So I either have to like, you know, watch the show, or I have to like read up on the wiki. Like, just yesterday, I recorded a verse for an Inuyasha cipher.
Nice. Very nice.
And,
I mean, when you say record, that means like, do you actually write your own verse or read what the other person?
Yeah.
Okay. It's so fully your own content.
Yeah. Like the thing with rap is like, and if you are categorized as a rapper, like you write your own verses pretty like every time. Which is, it's an interesting thing. It's like, it's some sort of like rap culture thing. Cause like if you're a singer and you don't write your own part, that's not really like nobody really says anything about it. But if you're a rapper and you don't write your own raps, then it's like, well, you're not a rapper.
Yeah. Yeah. No authenticity.
Yeah. It's just interesting. It's like, it has to be more personal.
That's
or it's
true.
Like, that's
I never really
the
thought
craft.
About that. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or it's like
you could be
like a Taylor Swift song has like 20 writers on it.
Right. Or like, you know, to pull like a more extreme example, I guess, like, Josh Groban, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like he doesn't have to write a single song that he does. And he's regarded as one of the best singers in the world. But like, to be anywhere on the list of like not even great rappers, but just like rappers who are acknowledged as rappers, it's like you better write, you know, most of your own stuff. It's interesting because there are a few exceptions, like Dr. Dre, for instance. Like he's written some of his stuff, but like a lot of his most famous stuff has been written by other people.
Wow!
But he's not He's categorized as a rapper, but what he really is a producer.
Yeah.
Who just happens to, you know, to rap on stuff.
And yeah, make headphones.
And make headphones. So it's interesting too, because like, you know, if you go back and you look at like NWA, for instance, like a group like that, you know, it was kind of put together in a way to where like, at least at the beginning, like Ice Cube was writing, you know, most of the lyrics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think that also, like, it depends whether you have an emphasis on, like, a live environment, you know? Because obviously then, like, showmanship on stage can become a big part of your skill set. And, like, yeah. It's interesting. But in, like, in an environment where everyone's just recording their own parts and sending them to each other, like, it would be... It'd be weird if rappers didn't write their own stuff.
For sure.
Usually when you have somebody on a song that didn't write their own rap part, it's because they're like a voice actor or something. And they were just like, they were just like called in, to do a part.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to be like upset about that. They're just going to be like, oh, you have to write your own part. It's kind of just like, just rappers care if other rappers write their own stuff. That's kind of how that works.
Other rappers don't let other rappers not write their own lyrics.
Right. Rappers don't let rappers not write their own lyrics.
Yeah, it seems like nerdcore music is really exploding, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because, like, nerdcore currently is really heavily anime focused, like as far as like the kind of online nerdcore scene, like YouTube. It's very anime focused, and even some of like the like nerdcore artists who've been around for a while and haven't necessarily been like primarily anime focused are starting to do more anime stuff. Like Beefy is an example.
Oh, interesting.
Of somebody who's been around for a long time, and you know, he's done music about all kinds of stuff. He's got a song about pinball. But like, he just did a My Hero Academia song.
Nice.
So yeah, it's interesting. And then Schaefer the Dark Lord, he's also been around for quite a while, and he did a song with Lex the Lexicon Artist, who's kind of a newer face in nerdcore. And that was an anime song as well. So yeah, it's interesting to see how like right now there's this really cool synergy between like the anime sort of industry and nerdcore. Like they're really like fueling each other, because a lot of people get into shows because they heard a song.
Yeah, right.
And a lot of people write songs because they got into a show.
Man, awesome. What do you think of the next big show is going to be?
Oh, I'm trying to think of like what's new. I don't.
I mean, I could see Shaman King getting some hype.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's a hot tip that I need from you. What's the next big show that everyone's gonna need to write songs about?
Shaman King is gonna be a big one.
Shaman King.
I mean, because that's an old one. That was a Shonen Jump manga, and then it was an anime in the early 2000s, and now they're rebooting it.
I see.
And it's I mean, it's got that Shonen vibe, so everything that people love about Haikyuu and My Hero Academia, you know, it's going to be, you know, in spades in this one as well. I mean, the one that I'm working on is probably going to be big. I was just putting that out there. that one's going to be called Bakuten or Bakuten.
So everybody write that down. I'd start doing your research, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that currently a manga?
No, it's actually going to be an original.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's about a high school boys rhythmic gymnastic team.
Only an anime?
Yes.
Is that, because that's going to, I know it's going to be, like, it's going to slap. It's going to be
It's
incredibly interesting and, like, heartfelt, and, like, everyone's going to get super into it. But, like, you try to make an American show about a boys' rhythmic gymnastic team, and it's just going to be like a sitcom or something.
Exactly. Exactly. None of the emotional backstories. None of the...
No.
Yeah.
Every single thing in anime can be impactful. It can be like... Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing about anime, is like, it's really one of the few places where you're finding like topics that have not been explored in mainstream media.
Concur. I mean, it's one of the only, especially, I feel like everything is a reboot or a refresh or a sequel or a prequel in Western media right now. But yeah, like anime is like one of the, I feel like, get the most original stories and original content.
Yeah, and it's like, there's some sort of particular self-awareness, I think, when it comes to content that the anime has, that it's like, I don't know, it's like, it's just very blithe, I think, which I guess is the opposite of self-awareness, but it's just like, it doesn't care if what it's talking about is obscure. It's just going to go ahead. Like it's going to take it seriously. Like, it doesn't ask for permission, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought? Like, Haikyuu, like, led to this huge revival across Japan of boys volleyball.
Yeah.
It was not a popular sport. And due to Haikyuu, it's now one of the most popular sports.
Yeah, and I mean, and I know people here who, like, joined their school volleyball team because of Haikyuu. So it's like, just for it to have that kind of reach, like there's the, you know, classic meme of just like, you know, the kid like texting their parents like, I want to play the violin. It's like, which anime have you been watching where somebody plays the violin?
Exactly.
that's accurate, you know? I feel like, you know, for me, I tend to be pretty heavily influenced by the stuff that I watch and read anyway. Like, mm-hmm. I always want to, like, get into whatever the thing is. Sometimes I like, a perfect example is just, like, I started watching Letterkenny some time ago, and then I just, like, had a Canadian accent for, like, a month, and then I was like, all right, I can't, I have to stop. Legally, I'm obligated to stop.
Jeez.
But I also like, you know, well, I don't think it was the only reason, but like I got super into hockey. I mean, I'm still into hockey.
Yeah. I mean, were you not a Mighty Ducks kid?
No. So I think my brother was a Mighty Ducks kid, but I never saw the Mighty Ducks until this year.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my gateway.
I was into baseball as a kid. Not so much major league as just playing it.
You weren't a major
casually
league.
Whenever I got
you were a major league player as a kid.
I wasn't a major league player as a kid, and it's one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, I agree that I was not Michael Jordan as a kid.
Yeah. No. But I watched baseball movies, like especially The Rookie, I think was the biggest one.
Yes. That was a great one. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for people who don't know, it's about this guy who used to play in the minors and, he had an injury and then he's like coaching his team later on. And then it turns out that he can actually still throw really fast.
Yeah. It's like the sports version of 40-year-old version.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, that's a great example. Well, it's kind of, if the 40-year-old version were because Steve Carell's character had an injury, and then he later found out he was like super good at sets.
Exactly. Oh man,
he went to the sex tryouts and blew everybody away, so to speak. Oh boy.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the story of. Mighty Ducks as well, you know, this guy was gonna
wait, that's the story of Mighty Ducks?
I mean, like, it's, except he was, like, a pro,
oh, in a hockey sense.
And then he got injured, and then he ends up teaching, the local kids team.
Well, he didn't, did he get injured, or did he just, like, quit after that one, like,
he failed the triple deke or something?
Yeah.
No, I think.
I thought he, like.
Yeah, I think.
Did he? I don't remember.
Yeah, no,
I just saw it this year.
Yeah, he got like a knee injury, and then he ends up becoming a lawyer, and then
he gets
forced via community service to teach the local, Rags Muffins.
Right. I've only seen the first one, so
in the second one, he ends up becoming like a pro player again.
Oh yeah,
but then he gets injured again
at the end of the,
and then he has to and coach the team again. Just
come
as his forever backup plan.
Does he have his teeth by the third one? That's what I found unbelievable about that movie, is everybody had so many teeth.
Very unrealistic.
Teeth out the wazoo. So one thing I wanted to do, because there are no segues allowed on this show, is... we have two things. First, I wanted to do some like would you rathers, because that's like a classic, you know, we always do that on here.
True.
But then I wanted to pull up some notes from we had so many ideas for podcasts that we wanted to do. Like, we over the span of a few years, we came up with just like a few different things, and like we never got around to recording yet.
The potential is there. I mean, we're recording a podcast now, so if we can do it now halfway across the world, then there's nothing stopping us.
No, absolutely not. It was I had forgotten this specific thing until you reminded me, but the name of the show that we had finally come up with,
so good,
was do you want to say it?
Sure. Cafe Fortune Cookie.
Cafe Fortune Cookie. And the thing was, like, one of the I guess you could say gimmicks, unless that cheapens it, was like we were gonna open a fortune cookie at the end of each episode, and then like reconvene the next week to see if it came true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a gimmick. That's genius.
That is genius. And so I think it's fun because I had completely forgotten that we had a cafe theme for that. And then what do? I start a podcast where the conceit of it is that it takes place in a cafe.
Yeah. It's just such a cozy location.
It is.
To set your podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, in your first podcast, you had this, you had this background noise that you pumped in of
podcast.
Maybe it wasn't your first podcast, but it was you were in college. Well,
are you talking about Tertio Domu?
Could be. Yeah. I mean, you were all this background noise. Past.
Yeah. I think I was 17, 18. Yeah. I was 18.
I mean, your podcast voice was already on point at that point. You had that really NPR kind of.
It was more on point then, I think, than it is now. Oh. I think now my voice is much more conversational. And at the time I was like, hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. It was one of those things, you know? Wow. Oh, that takes me back.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't realize that you listened to that. I mean, we knew each other at the time.
Oh, man. No, I've been a fan of your podcast.
Wow.
Or a critic or a cynic.
And I've had 2-3 different podcasts in between that and this one, I think.
Yeah, and you're super chill.
The Nodding Off.
This is to help you fall asleep. Yeah, Nodding Off. That was.
Yeah.
Man, I missed that. Wow,
people aren't going to know about this.
Yeah, the beautiful ambient music and you're just your slow, soothing voice reading your beautiful poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, reboot that one. That one needs a second season hard.
I ought to get back.
I haven't had a good night's sleep since. Seriously.
Oh no.
You ruined my life.
Oh, random question. What are you sleeping on these days? Because when you were here, you had you didn't use a bed. You used a sleeping pad.
Yeah, it's basically the Japanese version of that. I have a futon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, my bedroom, I decided to not use as a bedroom and turn into my music studio.
Okay.
And so I needed something I could roll up and toss in a closet. And so I've got this. Yeah, this futon that I pull out and. And it's basically the same thing that I was sleeping on for 5 years in my apartment. So,
yeah.
So I love it. I look forward to sleeping on it every night. The pillow is kind of weird. It's the thinnest.
Those tubular things?
No, it's just this very thin pillow that does not provide any kind of support.
Is it attached to the futon?
No, I could technically use another pillow, but I'm way too lazy for that. It's my own fault.
You need to get that. Need to get that my pillow.
Yes. Segue into the ad. I like it though.
We'll get ads on this show. I don't know. Maybe there's an ad in this one. Ever since I switched to using Anchor, they've given me the option to drop in sponsored segments, and then if my listenership gets high enough, I think then I have the option to go back and drop in ads.
I just want to hear you do an ad for stamps.com.
Yeah,
Audible.
Stamps.com, Audible, HelloFresh, is that one that people do?
Yeah, yeah. Manscaped.
Casper. Squarespace.
Yeah. Manscaped.
Right.
Oh. Jeez.
I just want that Moon Pie sponsorship. I've been gunning for that for so long.
Man, you've been putting in all the effort. It's gotta be around the corner. It's gotta be around the corner.
Just around the river bend.
Yeah.
Well, let's do some quick would you rathers.
Okay.
And then I've got two things from our podcast ideas that I want to incorporate into the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So here's a would you rather question that somebody asked me in a a regular conversation the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so good that I just stole it. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know if they came up with it, but
where'd it come from? Where'd it go?
Yeah. And so the question is, would you rather be Cotton Eye Joe or or Joe Biden? No. So this is the question. Would you rather be sent to Mars or put in a time-traveling car sent 200,000 years in the past?
Oh, man. Jeez, 200,000 years into the past?
Yeah.
Would you still have the... I mean, would you have to stay... Okay. Nothing's saying that you have to actually stay 200 years in the past. Like there's only enough petroleum, plutonium for one...
Plutonium in a car.
Yeah, for one trip back in time.
Yeah.
Or is it just a one-way trip? Are these both one-way trips?
I think... So the way that this was posed to me...
It's got to be just one-way trips.
Because I asked... for details, was that it's a one-way trip, and that either way you go, you would have like a group of people that you go with.
Oh, okay. I think I would probably travel 200 years back in time, because at least then I know I have breathable oxygen, probably, maybe, and I could like befriend a dinosaur. Or is that after the dinosaurs got killed? As long as it's not during the Ice Age or while
that would have been well after the dinosaurs.
But the butterfly effect, I'd have to be so careful as well, because I could totally change the entire course of the universe.
I had a kind of a thought where I was like, well, I breathable oxygen was my first sort of my first thought. And then I thought, like, well, if I can go to Mars, then I can still communicate with people back on Earth.
It's true. Yeah, but then I'm advancing science. Through, like, hieroglyphics and stuff, you could, like, write a message to yourself in the future, like, invest in Amazon. Like, in some cave somewhere.
Yeah. Invest in Apple. Invest in, sesame seeds?
Sesame Street.
Silicon Valley. Invest in Sesame Street.
Get in early on that one.
The one that's always asking for donations.
Just paid for by viewers like you.
Yeah.
Except I didn't pay taxes when I was a kid. I never paid for those.
No, that's... I always felt like such an
imposter.
When I'd be watching PBS and be like, this show is supported by viewers like you.
Oh, man.
I'd be like,
not me.
I don't have any money. I thought that, like, I didn't realize at the time, like, when I was little, that it meant, like, money. I thought it was just, like, just watching it supported it.
I know.
So I was like, okay, I'm doing my part.
Yeah,
like, I'm watching, you know, Arthur in between Jeopardy, rest in peace, Alex Trebek, and, like, you know... Bonanza, probably.
Yeah.
The Rifleman. Did you
Matlock?
Did you watch PBS as a kid?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Arthur, Sayu, the Siamese cat.
Sagwa.
Sagwa. Holy God, that's terrible.
I think you combined Caillou with Sagwa.
Caillou is a much more terrifying show.
Yeah,
that show was terrible.
Not a huge.
Have you seen all the dark fan fictions or all the dark like the 10 darkest theories about Caillou?
Oh yes, of course, because you always wonder. It's a burning question when you're a kid. Like what is up with this?
I know. Yeah, yeah.
Sagwa was where it was at, though.
That was such a good show. I mean, I feel like that might be the next area that nerdcore goes into. Arthur
Sagwa. You know,
Word girl. Hold up.
PBS Cypher would be kind of lit.
Jeez, like, check
out. I'm just going to put that out in the universe right now. PBS Cypher, I'm going to see if it's been done.
Do it.
Otherwise, I'm talking. I just realized the British rappers might not be able to help me with this one. I was going to say, like, Schwabity, Connor, Quest, like, Rust, like, but, like, they might not know. So I got to put it out there. PBS Cypher. Whoever's seen Arthur, whoever's seen Sagwa, whoever's seen, was the Bernstein Bears on PBS?
Yeah. But that was back, when it was called Bernstein Bears, before it became Bernstein.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was weird.
That old chestnut.
That was weird. Okay. Anyways, yeah, continue with your would you rathers.
Oh, yeah. That, so here's another one. Would you rather be forced to dance every time you heard music or be forced to sing along to any song you heard? I'm going to say this includes songs that don't have words.
Oh.
So you'd just be like sitting there like, da na 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 na.
I guess it would be singing along. Singing generally fills my heart with a lot more joy than my my pitiful dancing. And I hope it would be in a world where everybody would be singing and we'd be singing in beautiful harmony and we'd all be listening to each other's voices and really hearing each other.
So that sounds nice. I was thinking of like a situation where you go to enjoy like, you know, a performance, like a Mozart symphony. You're just in the audience like, like, get him out.
Like the canon in, no, Pachelbel's canon, whatever that song is that played at wedding. And you have to do the mouth trumpet.
Oh, you're right. Just. Oh my gosh. Oh man, I just, because I've said before I used to be a wedding DJ, and now I'm thinking like if I was just like playing the wedding music and just like over there just singing my heart out. I think I'd have to play it up. I think I'd have to be like,
oh yeah,
part of the music.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd have to get really good at singing and then blend it into everything.
Yeah.
I think that I pretty much dance every time I hear music anyway. Like,
yeah, I know we were playing. Gosh, there's a somebody I have friends that I meet with every now and then, and we're playing the werewolf game where you have to like accuse each other of being a werewolf and a townsperson, and you have to like close your eyes. You have to like close your eyes as part of that, and like villagers go to sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my friend, he starts playing a guitar, and apparently while we were all having our eyes closed, we all started dancing. And everyone was just cracking up. It was like, who could see us all?
I think that's just like how it is when you're musical. Like, that's why I like this question, because I think like half of the time that I hear music, I sing along in some way. And half of the, like most of the time that I hear music, I dance along.
Yeah.
I also dance when I eat good food. So,
yeah.
I think I'm just prone to bouts of dancing.
Yeah, I'm usually dancing while I'm like waiting for the toaster strudel to finish or whatever.
Yeah, it's just that when you have music in your head, you can always dance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I always get the shoulders into it.
We are currently dancing. You can't see us, but we are currently dancing while we've been
dancing this entire time. It's exhausting.
Jeez.
So you think sing along, and I'm thinking dance along.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe there'd be some crossover.
Why just make everything a musical? Just make every part of life a musical number.
Yes. Yes, yeah. That'd be so much.
A sing and dance.
Yeah.
I think, what if it's tap dancing?
Yeah, I mean, like, in it's like, in musicals, it's like, the entire, like, town, like, starts, like, getting involved.
Yeah.
It's like, there's so much camaraderie.
I want to be there in, the, like, the weeks before a musical number in a movie where everybody's just rehearsing.
Yeah. it's our big time, guys.
It's like, okay, this is the part where you come in and you say you need 6 eggs. But I legitimately do need 6 eggs, and I haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah, and then just everyone just goes their own way afterwards, like nothing happened.
Yeah, they don't make eye contact. Yeah, they're just like, this didn't happen. Can you imagine being in like the town the next day after the musical number? And you're like, oh, hey, Jeremy. Listen, I don't want to talk about it. It was just kind of...
Man,
it was weird for all of us.
I feel like that'd be like, I don't know if it's like horror movie level, but like in the world where everyone had to be like, they had to do it as a musical.
Yeah,
it's like something happened, and then everyone has to like stop what they're doing and like do a giant group number, and they had no choice.
Yeah, no, that could turn
dark.
That could be turned.
Yeah.
Definitely. You see it for comedic effect a lot, like in Muppet movies. But the first of the newer Muppet movies, when they like do this big musical number and then everybody like drops to the ground exhausted afterward. But imagine like if that happens, like if that could happen at any time, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, say you're like an air traffic controller and then suddenly you have to do a musical number.
Yeah. Like you'd like planes, just like, get in the tub or something.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Man.
Oh boy. Like there I am. I'm making toast. I'm getting in the tub. And then what's suddenly I'm doing a musical number. I've already got my toaster dangerously close to the bathtub. Suddenly my toast is wet. That's the worst thing that can happen. Jeez. In that situation.
Yes.
Wet toast.
Yes. Was it the toaster falling in the tub or the toast getting soggy?
I think the worst outcome is the toast getting soggy.
Yes. Yes.
I've got one more would you rather. And this is just kind of a, this is like a positive would you rather. This is like a, would you, this good thing or this good thing? So would you rather have free Wi-Fi wherever you go or be able to drink unlimited free coffee at any coffee shop?
It'd have to be unlimited. Well, that's tough. I'm getting very philosophical with this, but is it the absence of coffee that makes you love coffee and that you have to sacrifice a little something in order to get it? Hmm. That makes it such an enjoyable thing.
I think it's like, I don't know. So are you the kind of person that drinks coffee every day?
Yes.
Yeah. I think you have to when you have kind of like a, you know, busy schedule early mornings. It's currently what time? When we started recording, it was like 6 something.
Yeah,
for you.
Yeah, in the morning. Yeah, I'm probably gonna run over to 7-Eleven after this and get a cafe latte. 7-Elevens have the best cafe lattes.
Yeah,
I'd probably do coffee. Then I could just walk, no boundaries, walking into any cafe ever and just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, most cafes have Wi-Fi, so as long as you're already there, you know, then you get coffee and free Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
You'd probably live somewhere close to as many cafes as possible.
Yes, naturally.
So that'd kind of be your environment anyway. I don't know if I want to have Wi-Fi everywhere I go.
Yeah, you
know? You
got to disconnect sometimes.
Yeah.
But that'd be something like, you could just not turn off. Just,
I don't know.
Forever.
Free Wi-Fi. It also doesn't say how good the Wi-Fi is. What
right.
If it's like you get free Wi-Fi, but it's like, you know, say it's like capped at like 1 megabit. Which is kind of how my Wi-Fi is anyway. But like,
yeah, you can just watch like 1 second of a YouTube video before it buffers for the next 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, try doing a reaction to a YouTube video when it buffers. And then you're like, well, this is a good time to provide some commentary.
Okay, maybe if there's a choice between Wi-Fi wherever you go or for free dial-up wherever you go. Would you rather?
I would. You know what? I'm going with that dial-up.
Heck,
I want to hear that sound.
Heck,
I want to
yes.
hear the gears grinding.
Yes.
I want people to have to get off the phone. I'm using the computer.
Jeez, yeah. We were watching, like, me and my brother back in the dial-up days. Holy cow. We were watching this show, and it was, like, super intense. It was, like, a three-parter. And then, like, right in the best moments, we would get, like, a phone call, and we have to wait, like, while my sister was gossiping to her friend or something for 2 hours. It's like, get off the phone! Jeez! We have to know what happens.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. It feels so long ago that dial-up was a thing, but like,
yeah,
I remember like having dial-up, but it just feels like another millennium.
It sure does. It really
does.
The
advancement of the internet is really, really something, just in how quickly it's gone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I want to do some cafe fortune cookie stuff.
Yeah.
There's two things. There's You know what? Let's end the show with the fortune cookie.
Okay.
And then if you come back on again, like in the future,
I sure hope so.
Then we can discuss. I hope so too. And I'm sure everybody would love to have you back. So here's the site is called Forgotify. This is something that we talked about. So do you remember what Forgotify does?
Yes, yes. It takes you to a song on Spotify that has zero plays and lets you be the first.
Zero plays. So I'm refreshing it now. So the song that it has pulled up is Why Not Us by Pete Robbins. Is that a known song? That seems like a known song.
I mean, that sounds like a...
It sounds like it should be, but I mean, I haven't heard of it. The album is called Weights and Measures, but Weights is spelled like wait for it.
Wow.
Like wait.
Wow, this could be good.
Yeah. So I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to, can I send you a link to that?
I hope so. I feel like you, usually it's just like someone playing an off-tune violin for 10 minutes.
Yeah. There's a share button, but, oh, here we go. Copy, share link. Okay. I'm sending this to you now. And I'll put the link to this song in the episode description.
Yes.
So that everybody can listen along. So this is a random song. Well, not a random song, but it's a song on Spotify that currently has no plays. And by the time you listen to this, it will have two plays.
Oh, I got it.
So yeah. Yeah, you're right. This is more than a gimmick. This is a good device.
Oh yeah. Actually find this.
Are you hacking into the mainframe right now? I hear vigorous typing noises. Yeah. What kind of keyboard are you rocking, by the way?
I have the Annie Pro 2.
Ooh, the mechanical?
Yeah, it lights Very up nice. In a pretty rainbow, but that just kills the battery.
I have this Akko keyboard, the 3108 V2. Big old guy.
Wow, ooh, I love those colors.
Yeah, thank you. Got the Cherry MX red switches on there.
Heck yeah.
Is that what you're working with? It sounds like you've got some MX reds.
I think it is.
Something similar.
Yeah.
Because they've got a little bit more of that like clunky sound rather than a clicky sound.
Mm-hmm.
I blame caffeine for getting me into mechanical keyboards.
Oh?
I wasn't going to. Mm. Not caffeine the substance, caffeine the person.
Oh, okay. I was like, caffeine can be a gateway drug into buying all kinds of mechanical keyboards and
to many abilities and some would consider unnatural.
Yeah, before you know it, you've built 10 computers and you have 20 Absolutely. Mechanical keyboards.
Okay, so I guess we should wrap up. We're kind of at that hour mark. It feels good. I'm gonna hit the folks with a good vibe, which has kind of turned into like a recommendation segment sometimes.
Wait, were we gonna do the fortune cookie thing?
We will. I figure we'll do that right at the end.
Gotcha. Cut that out.
good
vibes.
Ye of little faith. My brain is Swiss cheese, so I actually appreciate appreciate anybody who's like, "Hey, did you remember to do this thing?" Because usually the answer is no. So my good vibe is well, two things, I guess. The first is that y'all know I've had a broken wrist, and that's why the show has not been coming out.
Or a broken broken freest.
Broken, yes, a broken wrist. So I just got my brace off. So actually, for the first time, I'm not wearing a splint or a brace. Just got that off yesterday as we're recording this.
Wow.
Yesterday, 2 days ago? Thank you. Claps all around.
Yeah.
So I'm back to being able to do, editing. I just played the piano a little bit yesterday.
Wow.
So for the first time in like 5 weeks or so.
Have you picked up your arm wrestling tournament hopping again?
Yeah, so that's coming up. I'm getting into fighting shape for the left-handed arm wrestling tournament.
Or the slapping contests.
Yes, the left-handed slapping contest. I'm in the finals.
Good.
I'm not really good at slapping, but I'm really good at being slapped.
Yes.
My glasses just go flying off, and people are like, wow, he really knows how to take a hit. So that's my one good vibe, is just like, you know, I'm kind of getting back into the mix.
Awesome.
My other thing is kind of just like a thing I think people should check out. I've talked about Harry Mack before, and how he's just this incredible freestyle rapper from Portland, out of Los Angeles. And he's been making like a lot of moves this year. But he has this series called Omegle Bars, where he goes on Omegle and he just freestyles for people. And it's super good and like super duper positive. So I highly recommend everybody check those out. He's been doing those all through quarantine. So there's like plenty to get caught up on. And they're just on his YouTube channel, Harry Mack. That's Mac with a K. So yeah, I recommend that.
Wow.
You got any specific like good vibes or just like general feelings of goodwill? Normally I don't ask the guests to provide one, but I feel like you usually have a good vibe going on.
Wow. Wow, put me on the spot here. Be kind. Pet dogs that you see people walking. Or pet the person walking the dog as well.
From a distance of 6 feet or greater, pet the person walking the dog.
Oh, yeah. Right. 6 feet. Jeez, wow. Your good vibe was just the best. I cannot follow that up.
Oh, well, I mean, it's hard to compete with broken wrist, but...
Mm-hmm.
I think be kind, pet dogs is a pretty solid vibe. So I recommend if you have a dog at home, pet that dog or any animal you may have.
Have you seen Vlog Creations?
Vlog Creations
YouTube channel.
That's Ross, right?
Yeah, one where he goes up and people are walking their dogs. Like, oh, can I pet him? And then he pets the person instead. Oh, you're a good boy.
I've seen
a few
of his things. I saw the one where he fills his computer with beans. Was a pretty big
thing. Calls the repairman.
Yes. Yeah. So there's some good vibes for the people. Before we do the fortune cookie, is there anything you want to plug you've got going on or maybe just like SoundCloud or something where people can find you?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. Listen to my SoundCloud, comment, send me good vibes. Yeah, my SoundCloud is probably the best, but I've been posting more stuff on YouTube recently. I mostly just am a passive observer on Twitter. But through that, I've seen a heck ton of, like, your nerdcore stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, I see so many of, like, Schwabity's tweets and stuff just because you're, like, liking and commenting.
Yeah. So how can people find your SoundCloud?
Just my name, Luke Standridge. It's like stand on a ridge. I think my ancestors were like supermodels.
Okay.
And their job was to stand on the ridge and to show people like togas or something. They were
okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we were yeah.
That's how most of these English surnames were formed, by people who wore togas.
Yeah. But I think it was like an occupational thing where your name came from. And when you stand on a ridge, if you're just standing there, it's clearly so people can look at you and be impressed by your beauty.
Of course. So that's your SoundCloud. Is your YouTube under the same?
That might be Luke Standridge Music. I think you can get to it from my SoundCloud.
Okay. So check out Luke Standridge on SoundCloud. Send the man some positive vibes. You can hear a lot of his like original music there. Obviously, watch the new season of Haikyuu. I'm sure most of the people listening to this have already seen it because my fans and friends are like big into Haikyuu, typically.
Yeah, and watch Dragon Quest. The Dragon Quest Adventures of Dai. That one I think has some potential to get hype late down the road.
Yeah,
been slowly gaining a lot of fans.
Dragon Quest Cipher.
Yes.
Everything is a cipher. That's how the hype builds, is ciphers. Ciphers, ciphers, ciphers.
Yeah. I feel like every time I think of National Treasure, when I hear the word cipher, or like some kind of like treasure hunting secret code.
okay, small brain wave. It's a big wave from a small brain.
Okay.
it's okay. We do a oh, his name's Ben, isn't it? I thought it, I was thinking because his name's Ben Gates in National Treasure. I was thinking that his name was Bill Gates. it's not. I was gonna say we could do a Bill Cipher, but that doesn't. That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing.
Unless you're doing like Bill Nye the Science Guy, but
Bill Nye the Science Guy, Bill Cipher from Gravity Falls.
Yes.
The Bill from Schoolhouse Rock.
The Slifer the Sky Dragon. Slifer's Cipher.
Yeah.
From Yu-Gi-Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Just kind of spitballing here, but those are some free ideas for the people. I feel like we've gotten a little derailed.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So yes, check out Luke Standridge on SoundCloud. Follow me on Twitter @MeFreest, on Instagram @FreestRaps. Find my YouTube channel just under Freest. That's FreeCed. Follow me on Twitch, .tv/Freest with 6 E's in the middle. That's FreeCed. Follow my second channel, Fneest. That's spelled F2CED.
I feel like you need to have a third channel called Fleeced where you just show your beautiful sweaters and everything.
Yeah. I'm thinking Threest, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether or not this episode will go up on YouTube or if it'll just be on like Spotify and other podcasting apps. So if it is on YouTube, it'll be on my second channel, Fneest. So you'll already have found it that way. So wherever it is, wherever you're listening to this, just check out all that stuff. If it's on YouTube, stuff will be linked in the description. I think I said that I would link that song in the description, so I better at least put this one on YouTube. So this will be on my second channel, Fneest. As well as on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere else that you could find a podcast.
Yeah.
So subscribe, rate, review, whatever you got going on. Join my Discord server. You can find a link to that in my pinned tweet. I'm trying to think where else that can be found in the description of any of my YouTube videos, any of my recent ones. So let's wrap this up with a good old fortune. Do you want to each get a fortune?
Yeah. What is the website?
Here's the site that I'm using. I'll send it. I've got my. Well, that's not really a fortune. I'm gonna refresh it until I get like a fortune. Here we go. This is a fortune. Okay. You wanna go first?
Yes. All right. An unexpected acquaintance will resurface.
Wow. That's kind of, I mean, that's pretty, that's already pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is.
But, so if that happens again, somebody else that you haven't talked to in a bit pops up.
I'll let you know about it. You'll be the first to know about it.
Yeah. I've got one that says, "Do you believe endurance and persistence will be rewarded?" I just like how it starts out. Do you, Toronto? Do you believe?
20 exclamation points.
So endurance and persistence. We
rewarded. Yeah, but that's more like a proverb. That's not
that really is more of a proverb. Should I try for one that's? Okay. Here's one. All right. Here's one that is. Straight up a fortune.
All right.
It says that the time is right to make new friends.
Oh.
So, wow.
Is the time?
I guess
it never not the right time for friends?
I don't know. See, I think it's always the right time for friends. I don't know if it's always the right time to make new friends.
Yes,
sometimes you have to focus on the friendships that you have.
Good point.
The time is right to make new friends.
Yes.
So my number is 555. It's just 555.
Text me anytime.
Well, Luke Standridge, thank you very much for coming on the Breakfast Club. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yeah.
I hope you will return.
Thank you, Graham Ganahl. Or GG. GG.
GG. That's what I type in the video game chats.
Yeah, signing off.
They think I'm saying good game, but it's just my initials. Yeah. I want to stamp my make my mark on this game.
They have no idea.
Little do they know. Yeah. So thanks, LS. Take care of yourself. I guess say goodbye to the people using your trademark catchphrase.
Oh. Stay frosty.
Take care, y'all.